This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Good Wednesday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Frankly, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're getting closer. Week two of the preseason kicks off tomorrow night. Obviously, a lot to get to here in Major League Baseball. And the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs will begin tomorrow. So, Jensen, lots to get to on a very busy Wednesday morning.
Nice little bounce back on the diamond yesterday. A couple of no sweat wins there, and looking forward to hump day here. We got a really nice afternoon slate in Major League Baseball, and a lot of implications, some series finishing up, some series continuing, and some changing tectonic plates. Feels like every single day, Dave, we watch a bit of the standings. We see where some of these scores are going. Great pennant chase baseball here right now in the middle of August.
Great guest list on this Wednesday as well. JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel from Money Moves, will join us a little bit later on in this very hour. Our very busy managing editor, Adam Burke's going to join us in hour number three, as well as Wes Reynolds. Of course, that'll mean we're talking about golf here with that FedEx Cup playoffs, our Wednesday with Wes. But we do have, I would believe, some rather significant news to begin the show today out of the National Football League. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
There are things that you think about for quite some time, and then the things that actually become reality. And this is something that's been out there in the ether for quite some time. And then it really was yesterday, Roger Goodell saying, it's going to happen, people. You can stop talking about this as a hypothesis. This is what Roger Goodell says. He says it's inevitable that the league will eventually have a team permanently based outside of the United States. Jensen and I quote, at some point, there will be NFL teams outside of the USA. I have no doubt that this will happen one day. Now, he didn't say exactly when that day will be, but we saw that this year, of course, they're approved, what, up to 10 games here out in the international slate, which is good news for us because we're the kings of Europe. We do have some games that are also not in Europe. But, Jensen, this is not now a possibility. It now feels like an eventual bill. It's absolutely going to happen.
Nine international games. We don't have kings here in this country, Dave, but you are right. We are the kings of handicapping the international NFL slate. What I find fascinating is, Dave, if you follow some of the aviation news, and I'm not sure many of our people in our audience do, they're looking to bring back the supersonic flights overseas. And don't think for a moment that the NFL not having a watchful eye on, oh, really? Okay, well, that's good for business if we're going to do it. This is still a bit down the road, if I'm going to surmise here a bit. But we know the eventuality of trying to expand the game and looking just where the host sites are this year, Dave. We're going to Australia. We're going to South America. We're going back to Europe, you know, into London and Paris and Madrid and Munich, and then, of course, down to Mexico City. So we know that this has been really the long view of the National Football League is to make it a global game. And, you know, hey, if you can make the economics and the travel is going to be the big thing because we handicap that, you know, for us. And even it's going to come into effect here as early as week one and week two when we've got, you know, the Rams that are going to fly in and fly out. The Niners are going to go set up shop for a week in Australia. How will that affect you in week two and beyond? I think it's remarkable, but it feels like not a matter of if, a matter of when we see that home opener in an international city near you.
Oh, my. Again, already approved for up to 10 next year. As you mentioned, 9 this year. Get ready, kids. It's coming in the National Football League at some point. I saw the substation tweet out there in San Francisco. Hey, not my fault this time. Even the substation's trying to back off some of these injuries that the Niners are having. Jensen, Mike Evans did leave practice. Tightness in his quad. Christian McCaffrey, again, did not practice on Tuesday. And again, this is poor, he says not contract related. We'll see what that's all about. We know about Bosa and Kittle and Pierce all done for the year. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, you do have to play that game over there in Melbourne in week one. We know about Kyle Shanahan. His offseason has not exactly been smooth. I don't know what to make of this, Jensen, because it's hard to really glean from what we cannot see in practice, but it feels like the walking wounded and we're not to regular season game number one.
Yeah, agreed. And then will be a part of the handicap again, already on the under 48.5 from when that schedule was released, Dave. And I told you my biggest part of the handicap was the ridiculousness of the travel and the body clock. And now even more so emboldened by hearing that the Rams are just going to touch in, you know, pack the bags up and then go right back out after the game is over. For what it's worth, and I know we'll dive much more into it, you know, their win total and their schedule, something we're going to have to look at maybe much closer to the completion of preseason week 3. And obviously for our VSiN Pro subscribers, we'll have that NFL betting guide 2.0 that's going to come out. I have a pretty strong feeling there will be changes because of all of the catastrophic injuries throughout many teams and just the injuries in total for a team like the Niners. How healthy can you be for the start of a season that has a crucial NFC West matchup down there in Australia?
Yeah, I see it the same way. That 2.0 guide is going to look very different from the first one that came out. And so that sometimes you got to have a little bit of that luck. And some teams have had it, like knock on wood, the Cowboys been pretty healthy so far. Other teams not very healthy, like Atlanta, and certainly what we're seeing in San Francisco. Baker Mayfield was very interesting yesterday, and we talked about them a little bit on the program. I feel like they're a very high ceiling team, but they could be really low floor if things go south down there, down south. Baker doesn't see it as simple as that. As a matter of fact, he goes the other way, Jensen, and he says this. He says that they're going to shock a lot of people out there this year. Let's hear from a very defiant Baker Mayfield at the podium yesterday.
I think we're going to shock a lot of people this year. And so I'm excited to just get on the road and do that. Embellishing. I think you can't avoid it. There's the TVs everywhere. I think everybody's. Yeah. Hell yeah, I am. Everybody's picking us probably to have a losing record. So we'll see.
And then with that, as you see, he DD'd right there off the podium. He was gone. He took that left turn and he got the you know what out of Dodge. You look at his face, like he looks so different to me. Like, remember, he was kind of pudgy coming out of college. Now he's in shape. He's that leader that they need. You can tell it's Baker or bust. And Jensen, I think that's my worry, is if he goes down, what else do they have? But he is that guy you want, as he would plant that flag right there at the 50-yard line. I mean, he is clearly the leader of this team.
Now, we don't talk about planting flags in Ohio here, Dave. That's bad news, Bears. Don't try and do that in the horseshoe ever again. What you will try and do is really look at Baker. By the way, you want to know why he looks so svelte? He's been running after young kids, all right? He and Emily probably getting team no sleep there, but the daddy strength going to be alive and well. I'll tell you, we have our VSiN NFL Futures Draft coming up tomorrow from 5 to 7 p.m. on Follow the Money here on the network. I did circle a particular Buccaneer for one of the categories, either a stat leader or a player prop that I am very bullish on. And it is predicated off of where Baker Mayfield has the gleam in his eye. Liam Neeson, I have a unique set of skills that is where I get the vibes from Baker Mayfield right now. Very excited to see what he can do. And let's face it, Dave, one of the things people ask us a lot throughout this offseason, what did we learn about Millions last year? Well, we learned early in the season, do not fade Baker Mayfield. Don't do it. As fun as it looks, don't do it. Dude's on a mission. Later in the year, we'll wait and see. But boy, they feel like priority one is making everybody feel them from week number one.
Well, clearly you guys haven't forgotten when he planted that flag at your stadium, but you guys haven't forgiven him for that either?
No, we don't forget. No, Dave. We can forgive. We tried to forgive when he was a member of the Browns, but we don't forget.
Yeah, right. I was going to say that must have been an interesting thing there when he was in Cleveland right after that. Jeannie Buss contesting the siblings' vote there for the Bucks for the Buss family, rather, to sell the remaining almost 18% of their shares. And this has become a bigger story here. And we heard about the reporting from ESPN, and they said they fired right back. So there were inaccuracies in that. Well, Shams Charania was on Pat McAfee's show, and Shams, who did the reporting, had this to say about that.
And I do have to say that letter included my name in it, and which I found interesting. And I just have to make it very clear. Like, I fully stand by my reporting. What I reported was that there was a majority vote, at least 4 of 6 necessary to be able to close a transfer as far as the tag-along provision. And I had a statement from the Bus Family Trust. The first line of the statement from the lawyer said that I, quote, reported the six Bus siblings voted to sell. That key sentence right there is inaccurate. And so I fully stand by my reporting. I've handled every story with care, including stories with the Lakers, as that statement continues.
I'll say this, Jensen, I know Shams pretty well. He's not going to put something out there unless he is, at least in his mind, he's got the story right. So it has become a he said, a genie bus said, but that's what Shams had to say. And again, he's verified, at least in his mind, his reporting and standing by his word. I got to give him credit for that. He's come out and said, no, I'm not hiding from this. This is exactly what I reported.
First of all, that letter beginning with gentle persons may have to put that into rotation into what we do here on the network. Dear gentle persons, Johnny, Jimmy, Janie, Joey and Jesse all united to go against Genie here. Real life succession playing out, my friend. And I'll tell you who's really excited right now. Steve Ballmer and Kawhi Leonard. They don't have to worry about anything that's going on there because everybody focused on the Lake Show right now.
Yeah, keep the heat off us. We prefer it that way right now on the other side of town there in L.A. Well, much more to get to here. Certainly Major League Baseball. We'll talk about what's going on with Marte Parte out there in Arizona, but did not show up in Boston. Looks like he's back in Arizona taking a look at his knee. So we'll get to that later on in the program. But, Jensen, when we come back, let's talk about week number two preseason. Tomorrow night, some numbers out there. If they interest anybody, if that's your cup of tea, we're going to serve it up for you next right here. VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are getting oh so close to week zero of college football, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today. Get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all of our top analysts here at the network. That's just the beginning. You're also going to get our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you, getting you ready for week number two of the preseason in the NFL tomorrow night. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
We get two on Thursday, three on Friday, and then the bulk of it is going to come on Saturday night with one standalone game coming on Sunday between the Seahawks and the Titans. Jensen, let's start off with tomorrow night here. And again, we're getting to that stage. We're certainly with teams with injuries, whether they're shutting guys down already or not. Sometimes for the healthier teams, they might still want to play their starting group here for a series or two. Raiders and Texans and the Niners and the Chargers. Boy, the Niners, you just go, I wondered, do they have any interest in playing a full football game these days? I guess you better see what else you have, because you have to get in that depth right now if you're San Francisco.
Great stuff here at VSiN.com. Adam Burke doing a hell of a job really compiling updates on who's playing, who's not, particularly, you know, how many series quarterbacks we'll get. As it pertains to Raiders-Texans tomorrow night, Dave, it does sound like C.J. Stroud and the starters for Houston will get some limited work, one to two series. They rested most of those week one start, or the regular starters in week one of the preseason. So a little tune up for them. Vegas is going to rotate what sounds like Kirk Cousins and then both Fernando Mendoza and Aiden O'Connell with the first team group. So again, from practice this week, Fernando Mendoza has received extended first team reps in the joint practice and obviously trying to get the evaluation of him up against Houston's elite defense. So we'll see what happens there. 1.5 right now in favor of the Texans. It's a slight lean for me there, Dave. No play in pocket at the moment. Again, this is always the tough week here in preseason because there are coaches that say, hey, if we get what we need done in the joint practice, we won't our regular guys. And so you got to really be mindful of news breaking probably right up until kickoff of who's going to be in and who's going to be out.
That's why we always talk about too, especially this time of the year. And it's going to get, as we get closer and closer down the road here with this expansion that we're talking about, less and less preseason games, if at all. You really got to follow those beat writers, Jensen, to your point about the practices and the joint practices. That's where they're really gleaning a lot of the information. By the way, how about this from John Ewing out there in the Twitterverse? He says, if you've been back in dogs this year or three or more points, they're 5-0 ATS in the preseason so far this year, and it does come into play, obviously, with some of the bigger point spreads. If you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube television here, Jensen, we do have a number of those that would qualify this week. Look, I was talking about it with Brad Taylor, who does a great job here in the weekends with Will Hill yesterday on his program here in Kentucky, and it's not a blind grab the points and play the unders, but so far, Jensen, at least in week one, that's been a solid trend, obviously, into week one, and we'll see if that continues into week two.
Yeah, one thing I would put into context here, for and John Ewing, great friend of the program, really good nugget right there, and again, it is worthwhile to shop around for maybe the extra half point or point here. Let's start with just Friday. Okay, because that's Jet Steelers there. It does look like Geno Smith's status will be up in the air because of the ankle injury. He did sit out week one. I would expect some heavy backup involvement on both sides. Steelers at home, 3.5, probably not something I would want to take advantage of. But again, these are the New York Jets. So, you know, buyer beware there. Packers Broncos. Okay, we don't usually get these kind of high spreads. We did get it with the Bengals. Remember in week one, it was upwards of 7.5, then back down to 6. Matt LaFleur did say for the Packers side, they do plan for Jordan Love and the starters to play, quote, a bit. Now, is that one drive? Is that a limited couple of series from what they did in week one? They are expected, if you want to look ahead to week three of the NFL preseason, Matt LaFleur did say he expects to sit all of his starters for that final preseason week when they play Arizona. So that is something to factor in here. I don't have a real good feel because we don't know what a bit means from Matt LaFleur, but certainly a first half look would be interesting on the Broncos side. If you know, you're looking at Sean Payton trying to get the dress rehearsal done for Bo Nix and crew.
I'll tell you this in context, say with that Niners and Chargers game, with the Niners favored by 1.5 tomorrow night, one guy you will not see for the Chargers will be Tyler Biadasz. And I actually thought this was the biggest news to come out of yesterday's slate of news with the Chargers. And that talented center who's come over, obviously played for the Cowboys back in the day, followed Dan Quinn to D.C., then took a nice deal to go out to the Chargers this year. So for L.A., he's going to be out for quite some time. So he was carted off at practice yesterday, something to monitor. We were talking about it yesterday, Jensen, just between us about how the Chargers just can't seem to get a break in that offensive line. I'm excited to have those tackles back. That's a team, obviously, that I've got earmarked in the AFC West. And then when you start to get this attrition, I know we're talking about San Francisco a lot. These are the type of things that happen at camp that get my attention more so sometimes than some of the skill players. And I'll mention some of those, like Najee Harris, who is signed with the Giants here, and they released Juju Smith-Schuster. So you get rid of one former Steeler and add another former Steeler here, running back for wide receiver. Like, I know that those are going to be the sexier names and moves that people talk about, but it's the Biadasz's of the world that I really look at and go, ooh, I start to get concerned there, especially when we're talking about the front side of the offense and or that defensive lines when those injuries happen. So obviously the Chargers, you know how Jim Harbaugh is wired. He's going to look to that next man up mentality. That'll be interesting to see what they do for the rest of the way in the preseason, because if you lose a guy like that, I wonder, Justin Herbert, how long would you keep him out there? Because now I guess we got to get the backup center ready to go without Biotic for however long he might be out.
The report is the slated plan or the stated plan, I should say, from Jim Harbaugh is that Justin Herbert and Charger starters will play one series against the 49ers. Speaking of playing series, this one on Saturday caught my eye because Dan Campbell, Lions are laying 4.5 here at home against the Commanders. Dan Campbell did say, quote, a significant amount of starters will play there in that game against the Commanders. Now, Jaden Daniels, that status remains fluid because of the injury issues. Marcus Mariota, remember, is already out with an MCL sprain for the remainder of the preseason. That might be a first half spread you might want to jump on, depending on what the number is there for Detroit. Also, remember, Browns and Bills here in Cleveland, Dave. The Browns will start Shedeur Sanders. He will get that first half. Then it will be Deshaun Watson in the second half. Doesn't sound like we're going to see Josh Allen, but that remains to be confirmed. this is it. If you're Shador, you better light it up here in this first half to keep this quarterback competition going. But those are certainly some thoughts that I would take out of what we're seeing so far. Any other those other numbers on Saturday? I know we've got the lone game on Sunday, right? Seahawks-Titans. Titans laying 4.5. I think Mitch Trubisky dealing with a bicep issue. We might see more Will Levis and see what he can do. Remember, he thinks he's a starter right now. He's really not. Any involvement there for the rest of the games on Saturday or Sunday for you?
I mean, again, I'm not a big fan of laying points here in the preseason, as we talked about here in the first couple of weeks. And again, I've been really dipping my toe in lightly, just played the Cardinals a couple of times this year. I'm fortunate enough to cash those tickets. I would say about that kind of what you mentioned with the Lions, and they are laying 4.5 at the Commanders. If you made me play it, which I am not, I would lay it with Detroit. And I'll tell you why. It's the mentality that you just mentioned with Dan Campbell. And think about some guys, the way they approach it versus other coaches. I don't want to say, you know, old school versus new school, but Dan Campbell is an old school player tight end in the league back in the day when preseason mattered a little bit more than it certainly does today. Jim Harbaugh, player in the 80s, under a guy like Mike Ditka in Chicago. And it was kind of, you know, it gets worked into who they are and their DNA now as coaches decades later as to how they approach it, because that's the way it was given to them as players back when they played in the league. So I do find it interesting sometimes that you do see coaches that might have a little bit more of that old school, hey, if they're keeping score, then we're going to try to win mentality. And that might be the case here with Detroit, as you mentioned, playing their starters a little bit more than some of the other teams. I might, if I were to play it, the only way I could play it would be to lay it with Detroit in the 4.5 against the Commanders. But it is so funny, or not funny, but interesting to watch the way certain coaches approach preseason and others just can't wait, just get a running clock and get these games over with and get the real stuff in week number one. Jonathan Von Tobel, he's going to join us next right here. Of course, he's the co-host on Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. We'll get his thoughts on the day's action and also football as well. That's all next right here on Visa by the Books.
And by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Oh, tomorrow we as a network are on the clock. The second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests going to face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the big Swede, Dustin Swedelson. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown that you can use. Win totals, divisional winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the futures draft room for the first time. How about Super Bowl winning wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, back when he was a Buccaneer, comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, and the guru himself, John Hansen, is going to be on the program. So don't just watch the futures draft, profit from it. Tune in tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Jensen, I had a blast last night going through my homework. So as I like to say, the hay is in the barn. I can't show you this, people. I can just flash it for the audience. But I have my paperwork. I'm like old school here. I have it all handwritten. So as long as I'm going to leave it here for posterity overnight. As long as the cleaning crew doesn't come in and wipe away my homework, Jensen, I'm ready to go for the draft tomorrow.
I think that is a horrible strategy, knowing that we could have operatives in and around that place and understanding what you want to do. That would be under lock and key for me. Double password protected, biometrically unable to hack. So
facial recognition.
That's good. I have my big board right here, second screen. I've got everything on the Excel sheet. We are locked and loaded. I was doing the Should Have Bet More podcast with Will Hill yesterday, and I'm almost positive no one will know where I'm coming from or be anywhere in the vicinity of what my top player props are for at least the top of my big board in that category. So very excited to get there for tomorrow night.
Yeah, it really is going to be a lot of fun. But again, we're going to have Tim Murray in the program tomorrow, by the way, to talk more about this too. Tim, of course, will be back. And I believe if you did have a group prize, it would have been Tim and Matt for the team. You and I were just below them. I finished fourth in the individual standings there. So we were in the black, which was good. And that's obviously the end goal here, is trying to make you profitable out there when you watch that program, 5 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern time, right here on the network. Hey, every night in Major League Baseball, we've been talking about it, Jensen. It feels like it can get kind of crazy out there, certainly in the wild card race here in the American League, that's for sure. Big win yesterday for my Jays. That was huge to get off on the good foot in Tampa. And kind of coupled with that Yankees win against the Orioles, like, Jensen, I know as a bettor, I'm scoreboard watching every night. I don't know if the players are as much, but it feels like every day it's NASCAR, baby, and we got a bunch of cars jammed up there at the top.
Yeah, a nice money line winner for VSiN Pro subscribers for us on the Jays. That under 9, really sweat-free for that Yankees in Orioles game. Yankees with a pivotal victory as the Rays take it on the chin from those Blue Jays. Bigger one, too, as we look through the divisional races here. White Sox end up getting walked off again by the Chicago Cubs. What a series it's been in the Windy City thus far. They had the lead late, then he had the rain delay, and then Alex Bregman, the hero, last night after Pete Crow Armstrong had the walk-off homer the night before. Couple that with the Minnesota Twins, already up a couple of games in their series against the Atlanta Braves. The Twins now occupying second place in the American League Central. That because the Detroit Tigers getting beat yet again by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Braxton Ashcraft, again, if you've not gone and watched this kid pitch, whoa, back-to-back games of 8-plus innings, and Dave, he was at 80 pitches through 8 innings last night. I mean, just as effectively efficient as you could potentially be, and that's big because I think the Pirates, and we'll get into this in Daily Diamond a little bit later, the Pirates, I still think, have a run in them. And to be able to kind of capitalize here on where you are at home in this slate with the upcoming schedule that they have, Paul Skeens on the mound today. They're still plus 30 in the run differential, 6.5 games back of the surging San Diego Padres right now. I think that Pittsburgh has got one big run left in, and because that offense has been so good, they have yet to really get in tandem when the offense is rolling and the entire pitching staff is going. I have a sneaky suspicion that we get the better part of Paul Skeens. More on that when we get to Daily Diamond later in the show.
Yeah, I'm fascinated because I heard you last week on MLB Network Radio too, which was interesting, talking about Skeens. And, you know, we haven't seen him now because they pushed him back a little bit. So I wonder if that was just to kind of get him more rest, get that arm. Like, Jensen, is that something they would do, just say, hey, let's get you a couple extra days here to kind of get your body and your mind right?
I think more so to give him that extra mechanical time too. Remember, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. It looked like he had been flying open a bit with the glove side, making him rotational. Mm-hmm. That very much affects your release point and could be one of the key reasons why the ball has been up in the zone. He's been flat. The velo has been down a bit. That can also be a byproduct of the inefficiency of the mechanic side of it. So good spot here though today for the Pirates to go try and win a series against the Motor City Kitties. I got to ask you, because I did not expect it to be this sweat-free of a winner last night, but a big 2.5 unit play on the Brewers minus one as they were opening up against the Mariners. Now this game was actually tightly contested early, and then it was an absolute monsoon of runs, so much so that we had Gary Sanchez finishing out as a position player for the Brewers, finishing the 22-0 shutout.
Unbelievable. Holy hell. Man.
The Mariners, my God in heaven, Dave. This is obviously one of the worst losses historically for the Mariners. And I think it ties the modern day record, Dave. 22-0, the margin of victory here for the Milwaukee Brewers, for any team to defeat another in the regular season in the modern era. Hey, we've asked who are the true contenders to the Dodgers. I think we now believe that the Brewers are certainly that. They moved to 30 games over 500. But now the Mariners, they're this bad, Dave. Let me put this into perspective. They are this bad. They are eight games under 500. They are still three games out of a playoff spot. This is insane, nuts. And it might be three games. It feels like 30 games of being out of a playoff spot watching this team play.
Well, we keep talking about the M's, and I think the reason why we talk a lot about Seattle is certainly going back to even our preseason. We looked at them and said, this is one of the class teams in the American League, and on paper with the pitching staff and everything else, and we couldn't, I think, foresee what Cal Raleigh would do or not do. You can still get them. You mentioned the three games back. You can still get them just a shade under 3-1 to make the postseason today. Again, you get to kind of the double-edged sword there. Could they still win the division? I don't know. Every passing day, or at least slide in as a wild card. The problem is, though, we talk about some of these teams that are starting to ascend a little bit, and I just keep waiting for the M's to wake up. They haven't. I don't have any tickets on them. I've just been one of those teams that I've been watching for a while, like you have, Jensen, of like, man, we're waiting to see if there's feels like an opportunity to get in. And it never seems to present itself with this team. Toronto, obviously, is starting to hit their cylinders. And that's without Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's out right now on the injured list. That's without Treya Savage, who's on the injured list. Like, Seattle really doesn't even have some of those excuses that other teams would have. So I'm bullish on Toronto here as we move forward. I don't know what we make of the Orioles here. And again, that really good series against the Rays, and now you come back and you kind of get shut down yesterday, at least offensively, by the Yankees. I put it in that context for the M's, that the M's, these are the teams that are going to have to leap over here, Jensen. And I just don't know at this point. Dan Wilson kind of feels like dead man walking there as a manager. I don't know if he's going to get all the blame if that happens, if they miss the postseason. But there's nothing there to engage with Seattle that says I'm ready to go place a bet on them.
They're a road ahead. Obviously, finishing up this series on the road against Milwaukee today and tomorrow. Home for three against the Cubs. Home for three against the Phillies. Off day. Back to the East Coast, if you will, north of the border against the Blue Jays. That is a hell of a run that they got to get through. Flip side, though, on the National League side, I know you've been watching in earnest because you like how your baby Mets are looking right now. Can we have Fernando Tatis Jr. come down? Congratulations on a game. Your table is ready. Not only a couple of homers, but taking away a grand slam from Frankie Lindor. Maybe one of the single best performances of the year by a position player for what Tatis did last night.
Well, two homers, he accounts for three runs offensively, and then he pulls back four from Frankie. That's the difference right there. Like we always talk about wins above replacement. There's your win. Tatis Jr. just won a game single-handedly for the Padres last night. It was very frustrating to watch. You know what? It's one of those things, though, Jensen. Like, I'm okay with it. Machado goes yard in the ninth to beat the baby Mets last night and kind of put them away. And Mets had their chances late, couldn't get it done. Is that, and I must think of this. The Mets are playing such better baseball that it took Tatis Jr. to look like Tatis Jr., Machado to go yard. They're two big guns to beat you. That's one of those, Hawk Harrelson, hang with them. Tip of the cap here. That's what I'm going to do today to the Padres. You just got beat by two guys last night that played like the guys that they normally are. And you're right, that catch was sensational. And he kind of mean mugged for all of New York to let him know that I'm still Fernando Tatis Jr. Hey, Padres are one of those teams. I do have a ticket on them to make the postseason here at a nice price point. And I do feel like they're certainly trending in the right direction here, Jensen. We're going to talk much more Major League Baseball, obviously get to the Daily Diamond a little bit later on, but there's a lot to talk about there because I do think some of these races, obviously far from decided, and I wonder about some of these divisional races, even with a team like the Houston Astros, if they really are pulling away from the Rangers and the like. We'll talk more about that and more right here in Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books right here on Beeson.
We are back, Beeson by the Books, on this Wednesday morning. Dave Ross Jensen is here with you. Adam Burke, our managing editor, will join us later on this morning on a lot of things going on here at the network that Burke will get us caught up on. And then our Wednesdays with Wes. Wes Reynolds, the great Wes Reynolds, will join the program here to talk all about the BMW Championship. Belle Reve in St. Louis, Jensen. That's where we're going. So let's take a look at that now. We're going to bet the build here. I'll give you a couple guys to watch for this second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. We're down to 50 here, J. Lou, and then we'll cut it down to 30 before we get to East Lake next week and crown a FedEx Cup champion once again. Scotty Scheffler, obviously world number one. He won last week. I had mentioned here in the program that maybe he wanted to wait after Thursday, see if he gets off to an indifferent start, see if he hits about 6-7-1, you could bang that number there. It's exactly what happened, and he goes on to win, and Jensen, against the best 70 players in the world, at least last week. He beat the field by, what, 8 strokes? So, I don't know. Do we want to shy away from Scotty in the builds this week or go right back to world number one?
Yeah, we'll go right back to him. And congrats to everyone who tailed both our FanDuel and DraftKings bills last week. Very high on Scotty Scheffler and Sam Burns. They carry us to cashes in both those lineups. If it ain't broke, Dave, don't fix it. So right back to Scotty and Burnsy at the top of our FanDuel Bet the Build lineup. Again, clearest number one player in the world in Scotty Scheffler in recent form two right now. Elite in the greens in regulation. Absolutely just dominated. And this course at Belle Reve fits him perfectly. Remember, his previous course history here has been really great. So we would assume that the floor is quite high for world number one. Sam Burns also in excellent form. Remember, tied for third at the St. Jude, third at the Open, second at US Open. So big time tournaments, big time fields. He has been one of the elite selections here. Last couple of years, Dave, he's finished in the top five, I believe, both times. Tied for fourth, tied for second, if I remember correctly. So two juggernauts at the top. And get Cameron Young. Remember, on FanDuel, you get the extra $10,000 of salary to spend. So that's what we usually like to do is get three big dogs up top. We get world number three here. The top five upside and the length are great upside here to pair him, or at least get him into that big echelon with Burns and Scheffler. I went with Justin Rose for the mid-value here, Dave. His approach numbers have actually been pretty good. The experience, of course, is something we value here. So nice little salary saver for that kind of experience and talent at 8,200. And then we took some shots on the bottom. Ryo Hizatsune, the ball striking's been steady, high greens in regulation. He's had a couple of top 10s here as of late. I think he's going to go very low owned, Dave, just because this is, you know, that part of the lineup where you got to try and thread the needle with the limited salary remaining. So with Ryo Hizatsune and then Eric Cole, hey, I know that you got to pick someone, you know, at this point, we're shopping at the top. You got to fill the lineup somewhere. He's been better earlier, but now this is just kind of a dart throw, if you will. So I think we're pretty top heavy in this card. I'll get your immediate thoughts on what you like for this FanDuel Bet the Build.
Well, you know, I love it when you're going for recency bias, because actually in golf, I think that's a positive way to handicap, because golfers kind of hit those windows. Scotty's always, I always make the caveat, unless it's Scotty Scheffler, it feels like it doesn't matter. He's just always going to be right there in that top of the conversation, because that's just, he's world number one. It's not really close. I do like the Burnsy play here this week. I will say this too, Cameron Young on your card. And I believe we got a call, or we got a message yesterday from Michael Swafford. We read in the air about the BMW Championship. And I did go back and look at some of the numbers on Cam. And I mentioned he's kind of been that yo-yo this year. It could be a positive side of that yo-yo for Cameron Young this week. And I think that world number one discussion has been put to bed now with Scotty being as dominant in the win last week. You can make a case for maybe a couple other players, and I'll get to one of them in a second here for my two to watch. But Cameron Young could be the other one that you could make a outside case for if he were to win this week at Belle Reve and then win next week out there at East Lake. to usurp Scottie Scheffler for player of the year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, obviously, but I wonder if there's some sort of outside motivation for Cam to get back to Michael's email from a day ago. I like your selection of Cameron Young this week, and I think a top 10 play on Cam is not a bad look. I think he'll be in that fight. Does he win the fight? Not quite sure, but placement markets, I will be looking to add Cameron Young, so I like that on your first build of the week. What do you have for build number two?
Okay, so DraftKings going to be look very similar here, Dave. We're going to go right back to Scotty and Bernsey at the top. We will include Justin Rose and Eric Cole. Here are the two differences for us. Sahith Theegala, again, I know this is risky just because he's been in a rough patch here. It has been pretty high variance, and that's unfortunate. But as I said, when you're shopping at the top the way we are, we're hoping that the big boys carry the day. I think Sahith Theegala, a better dart throw than most, as is Matt McCarty. Again, if you think about the final bubble spot, the last guy to get in, believe it was Matt McCarty right there at number 50. So the motivation, certainly there. He recently as high as tied for 29th at the Wyndham, I believe. The overall form and his consistency, it's modest at best. But I still think that our big three there with Scheffler, Burns, and Rose, Eric Cole is a good higher risk, I think, than where the rest of it is. And remember, we're down to 50 guys. So you got to kind of put the puzzle pieces together here if you're looking to take some of the big guys at the top. So only two changes for the DraftKings lineup. Knowing we're down to 50,000 in salary. I have to take some chances on some guys at the bottom. So Sahith Theegala and Matt McCarty are two differences here in our DraftKings bet the build.
My two to watch, and again, I'm going to allude to one of them. And as I mentioned, Cameron Young is a guy that I'm starting to get closer and closer to playing in my card. I don't have him yet. Hideki Matsuyama is a guy I'm starting off with this week. And Mats is a guy I don't play a ton. But again, with that form hits for a guy like Hideki Matsuyama, I would expect him to be in contention this week out there at Bellerive. And he is... when you get around the green, that's one of those guys you really want. The problem with Hideki had always been the driver kind of this year earlier, that faulty driver. It's not faulty right now. He's playing really good golf tee to green as well. And around the greens, there's not many guys I trust more than Hideki Matsuyama. He's the only outright play I have right now at 30-1. If you want to go in those markets, as I advised last week without Scotty Scheffler, I get it. Totally understand that. You're going to lower those numbers, obviously, but they're going to certainly be fruitful if Scotty's going to play like he did last week as well. And I mentioned this in context with Cameron Young, that if there's another player out there that's motivated, not necessarily just by the money, but also by some of the perks that come with winning potentially a BMW and then going to win at Eastlake, Wyndham Clark could still win player of the year as well after winning the United States Open. So those type of players like a Cam Young and a Hideki Matsuyama can't win player of the year, but certainly Wyndham Clark can. And if you noticed last week sneakily, Wyndham Clark, like a backdoor top five, but there he was right there. So all the attention was on Scotty. And all of a sudden you look up and you go, Wyndham Clark tied for fifth. Okay, where'd that come from, right? So even when he's not playing necessarily his marquee and best golf, it was still good enough with an elite field, the best 70 golfers in the world to finish top five. Wyndham Clark will be a guy that I have in placement markets as well this week. The only outright again right now is a numbers game that I'm playing here on Hideki Matsuyama 30-1, because most of the places I saw were shorter than that. So when I found that 30-1, I did gobble that up there. So I'm going to be looking hopefully that he's in that mix with the Scotty if Scotty's around. And again, I would not play Scotty today. This is the same thing I said a week ago right here in the network. Wait, Scotty's going to be teeing off late tomorrow out there at Bellerive. And for whatever reason, he just doesn't seem to get off on those good foots. So if you like Scotty, and who doesn't, again, I'm going to be looking for that same handicap. Like you said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Wait on Scotty. See if he starts off like he did last week, 3-4 back off the lead. If he drifts to 6-7-1, and then you want to play Scotty for the last three rounds, that's the way I'd go. And certainly be looking for a similar type, hopefully, that he does not get out there and blitz the field as he has not been doing on a Thursday. So again, my only ticket in pocket so far, Hideki Matsuyama 30-1, but I will be looking at Wyndham Clark in the top 20s and certainly Cameron Young to add. And Jensen, as you mentioned, when you're down to 50 golfers, you're not going to be getting that great plus money when you see these here on your screen if you're watching at FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube television. Like Cameron Young, to get a top 10 for you is plus money at plus $1.28. But with the shortened field, you're getting shortened prices as well. But Matt's at a top five at almost 5-1. That's something I'll certainly be looking to play. And again, for people out there looking for first-round leaders, Justin Thomas will be the first guy off the tee. I know we like to look at that there, whether for the weather, the wind, that sort of thing, Jensen. Scotty is going off later in the day tomorrow towards the back end of that draw again. So again, not that we're rooting against Scotty, but for the betterment of the market, you hope he gets off to a slow start with that late draw on a Thursday, and hopefully you can better utilize those tickets. And again, shout out to our guys over there at Long Shots with Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds. And we'll have the great Wes Reynolds on a little bit later on this morning to get his full card at round number two here of the FedEx Cup playoffs before next week at East Lake. So much more to get to. Again, we're going to have Adam Burke join the program as well. And big news in the NFL. Are we going overseas for good? That's next right here. Beeson by the Books.